on 2FM.
Welcome back. We are turning our attention to boxing, and I'm delighted to say that we have Thomas Carty in studio with us. And Thomas has a really big fight on Friday. And the good thing about you, Thomas, is you seem to win all your fights.
This is it. Yeah, it's been good, a good going so far, 8-0.
And done it in style?
In style. Barring my debut, I've knocked everybody out that I fought, yeah.
And that's great, okay? You're knocking everybody out, but does that mean it's really hard to get people to want to fight you? And also, from your own perspective, do you learn more from harder fights?
Yeah, it can be difficult to get an opponent, and you know, it all comes down to the budget for fights and stuff like that now, and whether it can be squeezed in. But luckily enough, my last couple of fights have been on massive cards. You know, the Three Arena twice for Katie Taylor on the cards, and now this one here this weekend on Callum Walters on the cards. So luckily enough, it's on these big, massive cards that have the budget to allow me to fight on them.
I was at those two in the Three Arena, and one thing that I noticed was you have huge support.
Yeah, I have a massive crowd. I would always have a massive crowd, even from my amateur days, but especially now since turning pro, the gang is growing all the time.
Yeah, huge support.
Yeah,
it's huge arms. His arms are the size of me quads here.
Maybe it's a pity you're not here now, because we'd be measuring you up.
Very different, a
jockey to heavyweight.
Says the fair chance they'd have been quiet if I was in the studio tonight, Marie. But look, just looking at it, turning pro, Thomas, reading your own quotes, you fell into it. You fell into boxing. This wasn't a career you grew up in or a sport you even grew up in.
No. I would always preach that I wasn't like born to fight like most people would preach, and the cliche, you know, born fighter and stuff like that. No, I played Gaelic football first, yeah. I played soccer actually, then Gaelic football.
Okay, tell us a bit more about that. So like, what position were you? Who did you play for? How interested were you in them?
Started off playing soccer, took it fairly serious, found Gaelic football through a friend in school. I'm from Phibsborough, but then ended up playing for Scully Cunnell in Clontarf. So don't ask me how or why, we ended up there. And played midfield most of the time, yeah. I was tall and skinny and could run. And then I slowly put the weight on through the years. But that's up until about 16, 17. And then the boxing took off, and the rest was history from boxing. Got really good really quick, and I had to leave the Gaelic football to the side.
Okay, so how does boxing just take off?
So it's in a team sport. And like I said, Scully Cunnell weren't the most popular club at the time, with the big ones, Clontarf and Vincent. So the team was made up of some lads were playing, you know, for some lads from the younger teams are playing for us and weren't taking it, like the team wasn't being taken so serious. And then I found boxing. A guy, Christopher Conway, brought me to the boxing club, and in my first year I won an Irish title, and that's how it kicked off. It got really good fairly fast, and national teams and captain European squads and stuff like that.
That's amazing.
Obviously you turned professional, then you went to the UK to turn professional, you got in with SOS Management, David Hay, a few other people have influenced your career. But reading you again, you fight because you box because you like it, rather you fight because you want to rather than you have to.
Correct.
Is that a fair way of putting it?
Yeah, no, absolutely, that would be a right way of putting it. I'd like to class myself as someone who's half intelligent, and I don't think I don't have to box, you know. I wouldn't be homeless in the morning if I wasn't boxing, you know what I mean. But I love what I do at the moment, because the only pressure that's on myself is the pressure I put on myself, and the only pressure I have is the pressure I allow myself.
How much pressure is that?
A lot at the moment, you know, a lot. But as I said, you know, I allow it myself, and if I wanted to quit tomorrow, I could quit, but I won't be stopping anytime soon.
And what would you do
tomorrow? I don't know, get a job like this, maybe on the radio or something.
When there was like Paul Corey talking about football.
Go back, you say pressure, like as much as you allow to put on yourself. What is the pressure you're putting on yourself? What are the aims? Well, like financially, life, you have a partner. What are the pressures you're putting on yourself?
Well, you have to imagine, I'm professional boxing full time nearly 4 years now, and I have friends having kids, buying houses and stuff like that, and you know, they all have security of a guaranteed wage. If I was to break my arm tomorrow, there's no one going to start throwing wages at me. You have to fight for my money, you know. I have to fight to get paid, and I have to fight to secure a future for myself. And I'm intelligent enough to know that if I stick at this for long enough, I can secure a fairly comfortable future and probably not have to work ever again. But, you know, there's a couple of risky years ahead, but nothing that I'm not willing to go through and put myself through.
In ways, Ruby, it's probably a bit like you when you were riding. Like, you're going out, getting up every morning. You have to do it for yourself. You have to secure the rides. You have to get the wins. You have to be better.
Yeah, you're old for a riding fee. You're old for a winning percentage. It was no work, no pay. It was the very, very same mentality. And you could never earn enough as a jockey that you're never going to work again. Obviously, you get into the elite level of boxing,
and done something over there.
Unfortunately, that was flat racing. It just didn't really work for me, Marie. But you look at it, Thomas. You say you could get into the realms that you could earn enough that you could never work, never have to work again.
We'll never have to worry about money again, yeah?
Is that a realistic achievement or is that just a dream?
No, it's realistic. As I said, you know, I wouldn't still be at this game. I've seen the glitz and glamour. I've hung around AJ and your Tyson Furies and the guys at the top of the food chain. And I've seen, you know, I'm 86, ranked 86 in the world. There's not a million miles between me and the top guys in the sport and the money that's knocking around. And it is something that I can see myself achieving. Otherwise, I'd have no problem. I'm proud enough to say, right, Tom, you're not good enough. Off you go. Get a job or go work for your dad. You know what I mean?
How do you end up going in, being a sparring partner for the likes of Anthony Joshua or Tyson Fury and them?
Stylistically, I would match up with the characteristics of Alexander Usyk, who's currently in the speed champion. So anybody who's ever fought against him, their team, the camps would get in contact with me. Hi, Thomas, are you available to come train with us? We'd really like to have you over. And then
What's the characteristics?
Left-handed, athletic, fast, good technique, good solid foundation. So if the likes of these guys are calling you, you're obviously doing something right.
There's obviously a bonus in that too. If you're sparring with Joshua and Tyson Fury, surely it's improving you.
Absolutely. It's a double whammy. You're getting paid for the work that you're doing, and then you're seeing when it's like at the very top of the game that you're trying to achieve something in. So yeah, it's a double whammy, definitely.
So when you go to spar with them, does that mean, obviously sparring is you're in the ring fighting with them, but do you get to train full stop with them, or do you just get dragged into
some sparring? People are different, but I've trained with an awful lot of heavyweights, and in terms of the ones I've trained with, Anthony Joshua and Tyson Fury have been more receptive to me training with them. And yeah, we train full time, do all the sessions and pair up, whether it's running or sparring or in the weight room, you know what I mean? We do it all the same.
Has to be a huge benefit.
Massive benefit, absolutely, and especially in the boxing world, it's improving your network as well. A lot more people are getting to know who I am from the exposure, being around these top guys who are, you know, they're on the Mount Rushmore of boxing at the moment. So you couldn't be around much better people, to be completely honest.
When we talk about footballers and being left-sided or left-footed, they're always rare, and you say you can add an extra 20,000 onto their fee or whatever it is. Is it a rare thing to be a left-handed boxer?
Seems to be, yeah, it seems to be. I can't name that many, especially heavyweights. It's rare enough to be left-handed, but it's even more rare to be a left-handed heavyweight.
Is there advantages?
Not so much advantages. Not like having an extra hand, but it's it's a little bit rarer, you know. So right-handers aren't used to dealing with left-handers probably as much, whereas left-handers have always fought against right-handers, if that makes sense.
These are things I've never thought about before.
Yeah. This is
it. Does make perfect sense.
Yeah, it does. It really
what about
does.
The weekend?
This weekend, this Friday night for me.
Yeah.
Expecting another big, massive KO. You know, everybody else is expecting, and there's real hype building now. Since yesterday, I've been doing a lot of media, and there's a lot of people talking online, and a lot of boxing critics are out for me, and they're expecting something big from me.
And
rightly so, as well. There's been a lot of hype building for a long time, and this is my third outing at the Tree Arena, so roll on Friday.
And a big night for Callum as well, and the homecoming.
Massive night for Callum, and I think it's really going to be something special to see, because Katie Taylor has opened the floodgates for boxing in Ireland again. Here we are, fair play to Tom Loeffler and UFC Fight Pass, because they're putting on this show for us, and look at the opportunity that we're getting.
You say there's people out for you, the media, people online, etc. Obviously you're reading it, if you know that there.
Yeah.
And B, that spur you on, inspire you, motivate you, aggravate you?
Spurs me on. Everybody's going to have an opinion, you know. Everybody's going to have an opinion, and if you... I'm not too sure. I'd say you have. I'd say you've heard a few chorus words about yourself in your time as well, Ruby. But
I give up listening to
it. Not on social media anymore.
Not on social media, but I've seen a fair few. And if you'd listened to them, I'd have retired a long time ago. So I do my own thing. Everybody's going to talk. You know, everyone has an opinion. It's just one of those things.
What's the trajectory then for you? What happens? What happens over the next 12 months, 24 months? What's the plans?
At the moment, though, I'm a free agent, promotional free agent. So I'm in a really powerful position. I haven't pledged my allegiance anywhere in particular. So I'm looking forward to having this fight. It will get me to 9-0, hopefully 8 knockouts in a row. And we will see. I'm in a very interesting point in my career where I'm on the cusp of something big, you know, I could take a really big opportunity, hopefully try and get into some of the Saudi money and Saudi fights. We shall see. And boxing is crazy because a lot can happen in a week, never mind a year or 12 months. A lot can happen in a week, so we shall see. Like to fight again maybe before Christmas and then St. Patrick's Day next year, hopefully in Madison Square Garden, New York.
A lot can happen in sport in a week. You know, it's no different there, boxing. That's just sport in general. But you say you have a plan and you're a free agent. Winning the weekend, does that elevate you? How much would that elevate you in the world rankings? How many fights would you be from a payday? A proper payday.
8, 9 and 0. Probably 3 or 4. I'd say one more year of building away from taking a chance. One more year of building. So, you know, 2, 3, 4 fights max away from having a crack at it and throwing my name in the hat with the big boys.
And tell us this, when you get that hat chucked in the ring for the big boys and it's all on Dan Zen and one of them, will you come and talk to us?
You'll have to speak to my agent.
It's DAZN, Ruby.
Yeah. Oh, wow. You'll have to speak to Rebecca Evans. You'll have to speak to my agent, absolutely.
It was great to have you in. We'll get your opinion on this because we are talking about footballers here, and Paul Corrie is a former professional footballer there, and they're giving out about having to play all these extra tournaments.
Poor fellas.
So we have a text in here, Paul Corrie. This is, I'd say, aimed at you. Players get days off after every game. At most, they go in for a light stretch. Some lads are on 300 grand a week. Toughen up, lads. It's a short career. Put up, shut up, get on with it. You can sleep when you retire.
I certainly wasn't on 300
grand a week.
That was Ruby said it.
You can understand.
It. Yeah, look, they do have short careers.
Easy to say from the outside. I'm sure there's a lot more to it when you're involved. You know, that's coming from a sportsman. I could probably send the message like that as well, but you're not a footballer. Whoever that isn't a footballer, obviously.
No. It's very hard to have sympathy for footballers, though.
You can say that when you're a boxer.
You're a jockey. Like, yeah, it's a different way of life.
I mean to the texter who texted in.
Thomas, thank you so much for coming in. Best of luck on Friday. We'll be keeping an eye on you from now and forevermore. And hopefully we'll get to see you at some stage again. And hopefully you will come back in and speak to us too. We're going to take another break. Stay with us. We'll be keeping an eye on all of these Champions League games. And we're also going to be talking to Neil Tracy about all the latest rugby news.